How are we at recognizing the presence of Jesus? Because when we recognize him, we recognize him. But how many times has there been maybe times where the Lord's shown up and we didn't see it for what it was, or we didn't actually recognize what God was doing in the middle of a situation? And so I want to talk to you today about recognizing his presence, because people change, right? But I'll guarantee you that you don't look like you used to. You know, if you go to your high school yearbooks and pull them up there, you know the people, but knowing them when you're in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, whatever, and then you see them now, they've changed, haven't they? They've changed. There's the same people, but then there's some people that seems like they never change. They still look the same, and it just ticks you off, doesn't it? How do you still look so young? How do you still look so good? But I can guarantee you that any of the people that still look as good as they did back in the day, their life has changed, circumstances that they've encountered. There's so much that they've gone through. So in a world where change happens all the time, it's not about how can I stay the same way. It's do you recognize Jesus right smack dab in the middle of your life when he shows up? Now, I'm going to read from Luke 24, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'm going to read it to you, but this is it's a somewhat familiar portion of Scripture. I say it's a familiar portion of Scripture, but it's familiar to me, so we'll see. If it's not familiar to you, you'll know it after I read it, but it's about some disciples who are walking along the road to Emmaus, okay? Jesus has just, he's just died. He was just crucified. And if you remember, the disciples, they thought Jesus was the answer to it all, and he was. But he didn't show up like and do the things they expected. Do you ever have that where God, show up in my life, reveal yourself, make yourself known to me, and then it seems like he doesn't do it the way that you planned it? It's not that he didn't show up. He did. He just did it a whole different way. You know, you have to recognize his presence. And these disciples were walking along, and they were dismayed. They were upset. And Jesus shows up and starts walking with them, but they didn't recognize him right away. Let me read it to you. Starting at verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together all of the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him." That's important to remember there. "And he, being Jesus, said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened here in the last 3 days?' Jesus said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he, being Jesus, said to them, 'O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone on further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and he revealed himself. They knew him, and then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up the very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 of those who were with them. They gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed.' And he appeared to Simon, and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Now, there's a lot that's going on in this story, and I don't want to complicate it. I want to keep it as simple to understand, but Jesus shows up, and it says that their eyes were concealed. They couldn't see him for who he really was. And they really didn't know that it was Jesus. And so as they're walking along, they ask him to come alongside and they ask him to stay. And they say basically, hey, why don't you stay with us? We got a little Airbnb, you know, you can hang out here. And as he sat at the table, he broke bread with them. And it was at the breaking of the bread that all of a sudden revelation took place. Now, there's a lot that's going on. And have you ever noticed how kids are the ones that can always see the elephants in the clouds? You know what I mean? They have an imagination. They're just free to see these things. They're the ones that see the angels in the snow. In other words, they're the ones that tend to see the good in life, the good in people, before us as adults do. And the Bible says this. It says in Matthew, I assure you that unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, he's saying we got to become childlike once again in our faith, not childish. He said childlike. And we need to start seeing the good that God has given us. We need to start seeing the good in other people. We should be childlike, but something happens to us as we age. Something happens to us as we get older and you just can't fight it. George Burns, how many of you know who George Burns is? You know, I'm kind of dating myself there, but he was a fairly well-known comedian slash actor in that, and he lived a good long life, and he gave some tips. He says, he had a little excerpt on growing old, and he says, you know you're getting old when the gleam in your eye is from the sun hitting your bifocals. You know you're old. He says, you know you're old when you get winded playing chess, when your children start to look middle-aged, and when you sit in a rocking chair but you can't get it going. You know you're old. He said, when dialing long distance wears you out, you know, you're getting old. But, you know, today we have smartphones, so you don't have to really worry about that now. But he said, you know you're getting old when the little gray-haired woman you help across the street is your wife. He said, you know you're getting old when your knees buckle but your belt doesn't. And lastly, he said, you know you're getting older when you stoop to tie your shoes and you wonder what else you can do while you're down there because you won't be down there again for a while. So he says, you know you're getting older. Every day we're growing, whether you know it, like it, or not. Spiritually speaking, we're to be growing as well. If you're not feeding yourself spiritually, if you're not doing something to grow in your relationship with God, then you're starving that. It's happening one way or another. So what happens to us along the way? Why don't we see God's presence as clearly as maybe we once did? Why is it like it's just kind of gotten comfortable? And how did that happen in life that even now when you're in crisis mode or it's just a situation that's going on, our first reaction is always to try to fix it in our own strength, try to get a loan to cover it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with trying to take care of things, but we're not as quick to run to God. And life has a way of, you know, just throwing boulders at us and challenges us, and even the disciples here walking along the road, it says that they were prevented from seeing him. Why would God do that? You know, maybe God, and this is just me thinking, but maybe God prevents us from seeing him sometimes in order to build our faith so that we all, you know, we eventually know that even in times when we don't see him or, you know he's there, we still know by faith that he's there. How many of you know that we serve a God that never leaves you and never forsakes you? Amen? We agree on that? So if God never leaves us and if God never forsakes us, why is it so many times when it feels like we're going through something, we say things like, God, where are you? Right? Have you ever been there? And it's in moments like that we say those things because at that moment we're functioning by feelings. We're not functioning by faith. We're going by how it feels. It doesn't appear like God's shown up. It doesn't appear like he's answering my prayer. And sometimes when we can't see him, it doesn't mean that he's not there. It's quite the opposite. But we wonder, why would God do this? You know, in the reading of Luke 24 there, it says that they were talking, they were discussing, and it says that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And they were complaining along the way. That's what they were doing. They were complaining about Jesus. They said, oh man, we thought Jesus was it. We thought this was going to be the one. We thought he was going to show up and do it like this, A, B, C, and D. And he didn't. He showed up and he did some really cool, amazing things. And then he willingly went to a cross and died. All of our hope feels like it's just kaput now. You know, well, what are we going to do? You see, their eyes were focused on them. Their eyes were focused on their culture, their circumstances, all the things that were surrounding them that they couldn't even see. And granted, the scripture says that their eyes were prevented. But what it's saying is their eyes couldn't see him even if their eyes wanted to see him because they weren't looking for him. In their eyes, he was dead. He was gone. And so they were looking to the next thing already. How many times have you asked God to show up and then he doesn't do it in your time frame or he doesn't do it the way that you think he should, so you abandon ship and go for the next thing? See, it's in moments like that that we, if I can use this word, and I don't mean it harshly, but we fail to recognize his presence. There's many times when God has shown up in my life and I didn't recognize or because he didn't do it my way, I tried to find another way. And then there's other times when I simply waited on the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, you know what they do? They renew their what? Their strength, okay? But I sure didn't feel like I was getting renewed in my strength. But you can't go by feelings. It's got to be about faith. And so these guys are walking along the road and they're complaining about what's not happening. And we don't always recognize sometimes that in the middle of our grumbling and in the middle of our complaints, our worries, our anxieties, God's right there walking with you. He has the answer. But the question remains, do you want to see him? Do you want to see him? Are you facing a financial setback? Do you have a health issue that a doctor said this is what's going on? God can heal that. God can give you the answer, but you've got to be looking for him. Are you having a relational situation and you don't know what to do? God can answer that, but you've got to be looking for that. Because if you've already decided that this is what's going to happen, then you've already decided. And we don't look for God in the middle of that. How many of you found this to be true? You had a plan, God showed up, and he'll change your plans, right? And you don't want them to be changed because you know your plans, but when God changes them, has he ever let you down? Has he ever failed you? Has he ever? Here's what I find to be true. Whenever I have a plan and I have a direction and God changes it, I'm just going to be transparent. I don't want to go his way because I don't know which way he's going yet. I want him to notify me in triplicate form and, you know, we'll get a counsel and approve it and we'll see how I feel and all that stuff. You know, that's kind of my brain what goes on. But he says, Jim, are you going to trust me? And sometimes I do it this way. Sometimes I just say, yes, Lord, I'll trust you. But there's sometimes I do this and I go, oh, fine, we'll do it your way. At that point, what matters most is if I'm going to obey him or not, okay? Now, secondly comes the attitude question, right? And sometimes he has to work with me on that. How about you? You know, I'll be like, fine, we'll do it your way. Stupid way, but we'll do it your way. And I'll start going, and all of a sudden, he starts revealing things because I simply obeyed. And along the way, that's when he goes, so what about that attitude back there, Jim? Oh, man, now we got to deal with the attitude. But you see, he always does it in a gentle way. He's always teaching us. He's always leading us. There's so many times I've taken for granted the things that God has given me. And I complain and I grumble and I miss that his very presence is right there with me. See, we do dumb stuff when we think God's not looking. When we think, oh, God's not here. Okay, I know God's always, he never leaves, never forsakes, but I haven't seen him lately. I haven't heard from him lately. Now, this is a whole nother message I could go off on because usually that's not a problem on God's part. It's usually a problem on our part. But we can say, I don't feel God, I don't see God, and we start making some really dumb decisions. I've shared this story before, but it makes my point. A burglar breaks into a house at night, and he's walking around the house with his flashlight, and as he moves, he hears somebody say, Jesus is watching. And it freaks him out, you know, so he's shining the light around, doesn't see anybody. So it quiets down, and he continues to burgle the place, and he hears again, Jesus is watching you, and he shines a flashlight over, and he sees a parrot over in the corner, and he goes, huh. Stupid parrot. Was that you? And the parrot said, yes. And so he said, well, what's your name? And the parrot said, Moses. And the burglar said, well, that's a dumb name. What kind of an owner names their parrot Moses? And the parrot said, the same owner that named the Rottweiler Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize all the things that are going on around us. I want to give you just three things, observations, points, whatever you want to call them, about recognizing his presence. We're going to end on that, actually, because that's the key. But we need to make sure that if we are in a situation where we want to see God, hear God, understand just exactly what's going on, then we've got to do this. Number one, if you'll write this down, we have to set the speed of our heart. We have to set the speed of our heart. Well, what do you mean by that, set the speed of my heart? Well, let me explain. I'm not talking about your physical heart. Our physical heart is set. And by the way, the physical heart is amazing. Did you know that? I mean, all the intricacies and that go on to keep that life flowing and pumping. And, you know, obviously, if the heart stops, everything stops, right? Game over. The end. It's done. Now, that being amazing in itself, what I'm talking about here is setting the speed of our heart is when we're talking spiritually. Did you know that you and I get to set the speed of our hearts? We get to decide how much faith we're going to put into something. When they were walking on the road with the two disciples and Jesus shows up, Jesus speaks to them and he's basically saying, "Hello, I'm right here, but you're not looking." And they said, "Where have you been, man? You don't know what's going on around here and all the problems that are happening and about this dude named Jesus that was going to save us and then it didn't work out and he got nailed to a cross and now we're sunk. We don't know what to do." And Jesus was still sitting there like, here's what he said. He said, "Oh, foolish men," to them, "and slow of heart." He said, "You're slow of heart." You know, you and I get to set the speed of our heart. If you want to have more faith, you have to increase the speed of your heart. Some of us here today, maybe it's going to be either, I'll ask you a few questions you can answer in the own quietness of your own mind. But when it comes to faith, what's the speed of your heart? Let's say believing in Jesus to forgive you of all your sins. Are you slow to believe that? Are you kind of in the middle or are you completely all in? Well, you can answer that for yourself. But what about when we set the speed of our heart and I say, God is your provider? And we can say we believe that, but I'm asking about your faith. Does your actions, the way you live out your life, match up with what your mouth is saying? Or are you slow to believe that God will provide for you? When it talks about him supplying all of your needs or God being your healer, well, do you believe that? Slow? Medium? Or are you fast to believe that God is my healer? You get to choose. So if you're going through a situation right now, whatever that situation or that crisis or whatever it is, ask yourself right now, do I really believe that God can show up in the middle of this situation and turn things around in such a way that though it might not end up the way I want it to, it's going to end up probably better? Do I have enough faith for that? Are you slow to believe that? Are you quick to believe it? Here's what I found. Whenever God changes directions on me, what I had planned was good in my own mind. Right? In my own world. But when I follow God, he always supersedes it times 10 at least. He's changed directions in my life. He's changed pathways. And I thought, this is the end. It's a dead end road. And all of a sudden, it opens up to this brand new world that I never knew about. But you see, I never would have got there if I wouldn't have just simply trusted the Lord. If I wouldn't have recognized his presence. You see, I had to learn to set my heart from slow to believe in God to a little bit quicker. And if your heart's speed is set on slow, because sometimes people, you know, it's easy to do this. It's easy to come to church, sit back and relax and kind of hear the message and say, "I'll consider that. You know, I heard you. You know, I recognize God's speaking," but are you just hearing the words and still slow to believe? Because what God wants to know is, are you hearing what I'm speaking and then applying it to your life? He said to them, "Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Because you see, if your heart's set on slow, you won't see God even if he shows up next to you. You won't see him. So we have the ability, you and I, have the ability to set the speed of our hearts. How you set the speed will determine a lot of things in your life. It'll determine a lot of things. Whether your heart is set on slow, medium, or fast, the Bible says that you should show hospitality to strangers. You remember that in Hebrews? I think I have it in, it's there on the screen. It says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." I ask myself this question. I wonder if there's been times in my life where, you know, literally, the presence of God, an angel, has crossed my path. How did I do at recognizing that? You know, what grade would I give myself? Because the way that we do that is by recognizing his presence, is to start recognizing it in our heart and in our life, yes, but also recognizing it in others. Sounds a lot like the great commandment, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God and love others. I wonder how I would do. Would I give myself an A, a B, a C? Or did I get a D or an F in possibly entertaining somebody the Lord placed in my path or even his very presence? You know, I pray, my prayer is, Lord, please help me to recognize your presence around me. Lord, help me to see you in all things. Help me to see the good in people. Here's a big one. Help me to see the good in myself. Because I don't know about you, when I look in the spiritual mirror, if I can say it that way, I don't really want to do it because all I know is what's wrong with me. But do you know that his word wants to reveal to you what's right, what's good, what you've got going on? But that still means you have to make a decision. And I pray, Lord, help me recognize your presence, that I might not just be found entertaining people, but that I might be found entertaining your presence. I don't want to be a people pleaser. I spent so many years trying to do that. As a young kid wanting attention all the time, I spent so much time trying to get, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, if I can say it that way. You know, looking for attention, looking for approval. And it wasn't until I let Jesus come into those areas of my heart that all of a sudden I didn't need to have that need met anymore because Jesus is now my need meter. And I started recognizing his presence and all of that. And don't get me wrong, I still want to entertain people and talk and be nice, cordial. But instead of trying to entertain people, please people, I'm now more concerned with pleasing God. And that's a good perspective to have. You worry about that first. Matthew 25:40 says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So when you and I go out of our way to look for the good in other people, to try to serve, sometimes it can be difficult, you know, it can be challenging. But he says, in so doing that, you're serving me. You're doing that unto me. This means that to love Jesus, we have to love even the lowest of people. In other words, show hospitality to everyone. Now, that doesn't mean become a doormat, by the way, okay? He's not saying you have to love everybody, even the lowest of people, so that means they get to do whatever they want and you have no say in it. No, he's not saying let people manipulate you or control you or use you as a doormat. He's saying learn to love them where they're at. And if they can only go so far, love them to that point and move on to the next. There's always people to love. There's always people. How many of you could use a word of encouragement today? Well, look around you. There's other people that can tell you that. Why aren't we doing that? Because he says you're supposed to look for that in other people. Because in so doing, you're doing it first and foremost to Christ. So let me share a scary thought I had to myself, and it's this. I thought, I wonder if sometimes God blinds my eyes from recognizing his presence for a moment in order that it might reveal the true me. Because sometimes when I don't recognize God's presence, what comes up to the surface is what I think and what I want and what I would do. And it's many times when that comes up, then God reveals to me, you see all those eyes right there? We need to work on that. And sometimes he'll do that. So the greater concern, though it is a great concern to recognize his presence, is going to be simply this. Set the speed, yes, but then number two, write this down. What will you do when he opens your eyes? Though it's important to recognize, first and foremost, God's presence, he wants to know, what are you going to do when I show you something that you need to see, when I reveal myself to you? Because let's just, if I can kind of just be transparent, honest, however I want to say it, if I'm going to give you something and you're not going to do anything with it, then why should I even give it to you in the first place? If I know that I'm going to give you this thing and you want nothing to do with it, or maybe you want it, but then once you get it, you don't want what you got kind of a thing, then why would I give it to you in the first place? As they were walking along the road, they invited him into the house, remember? They said, come on in with us, abide with us. And it says that he came in and that he reclined at the table. And he was with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. And at the breaking of it, he started to give it to them. And it says, when the bread was broken, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Because they recognized something at the breaking of the bread. As they broke the bread and as he started to serve them, there had to be just triggers going off. And they're like, wait a minute, hold on. We just did this a while ago. I remember sitting around a table with a man and they're like, it's Jesus. How many times have you been going through something and when you finally came to a place where you surrendered all of a sudden you realize Jesus was there all along? Let me encourage you on a couple of things. There's a few There's a few amazing things that are happening here. Number one, he reclines with them at the table. He's hanging out with them. He's in their presence. They're in his presence. But then he opens their eyes, but he does it through the breaking of bread. He uses communion. I want to encourage you, if you're here today, if you're watching online, you're going through a situation, whatever it is, and you're saying, I want to recognize his presence in a greater way. Let me ask you, when's the last time you've done communion? Because communion is not about just going through something we do once a month in church. Do you do communion at home? Do you do communion with, you know, your family, your significant other? Because what you're doing is you're sitting down and saying, I don't want to just drink some juice and eat some bread. I want to experience the presence of God. I want him to recline at my table. If you're going through a situation right now, you're going through a spiritual battle, or maybe you're just having a bad day, maybe you're feeling good, but you're saying, but I'm not experiencing his presence like I really want to. I want to encourage you, take communion at home. Sit down, because it's at the breaking of the bread is where the eyes become opened. And don't get hung up in how you do it. You know, well, Pastor, we don't know how to do it. We will teach you how to do that. We will show you how to do that. You just come. 1 Corinthians shows us how to go and to come at the table, and you thank him for the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, and then you pray, and we take communion. And we'll do this at home. Sometimes we'll experience, you know, just something's off. You ever feel that? You know what I'm talking about? Something's off. And you don't want to over-spiritualize everything, but if you're going to err on any side, lean into God. Amen? And so we'll be going through a difficult time, and we'll just say to one another, hey, can we do communion? And we'll sit down and, well, Pastor, we don't have fancy little cups, and we don't have the silver gold trays, whatever it is we use. Yeah, do you know God's less concerned about the elements that you use and more concerned about you being in his presence more than anything else? There's times when we've done communion with a Sprite Zero and a Ritz cracker, okay? God does not care one iota. What he cares about as far as what we ate or what we drank, what he cares about is that we recognize something's up and we need to get into the presence of God. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. Well, how do you know, Pastor? You are alive, you are breathing, and you can talk. You can do it. You just got to make yourself do it. You got to just discipline yourself to do this. So here he is with the disciples, or two of as they're sitting around the table. He breaks the bread, and all of a sudden, they see him for who he is. And then the Bible says he vanishes from their sight. How weird would that be? We just walked with this guy all day long. He breaks the bread. We realize it's Jesus, and then poof, he's gone. How did that happen? I don't know. It's one of those questions I'd love to ask God when I get to heaven, but I think I'll be a little more impressed with other things when I get there. What Jesus was doing was he was basically challenging the disciples by revealing his true identity and thereby making them choose what they would do with the revelation that he was given them. You see, if you recognize him, what do you do now? When you recognize God shows up, what do you do now? I've had many times when God has showed up and he said, go left when I wanted to go right. And I got to make a decision. Am I going to follow the voice of the Lord, or am I going to follow the voice of Jim? Now, that sounds like an easy choice to make. But you put your name in place there instead of Jim, and put your name in there. When you want something and you want to do something and God tells you to do something different, do you recognize his presence? What if God did a miracle to change your heart? Would you be interested in that? Well, if the answer is no, because most of us would say, yes, I want to see a miracle. But if we were to say no, then why should he even reveal himself? Why should he even give himself that power of his presence if we're not going to do anything with it? What he wants to know more than anything is when he does reveal himself, what are you going to do? I was, Lisa and I, years ago, had a nice discussion. That's the church way to say we were arguing, okay? We were in a little bit of a spat, and it was over nothing. It wasn't even a big deal. I don't even remember what it was, but we were arguing. She thought one way, I thought another. And as we were arguing, I heard the Lord say, stop it. And I thought, are you serious? He said, stop it. And I didn't want to. You want to know why? Because I was winning. Make it understand something. I don't feel like I win very many arguments, okay? So I was feeling pretty good. I'm like, man, I got this one. I got this one. You ain't getting out of this one. And Jesus showed up and said, stop it. And I said, you stop it. He said, stop. I'm like, why, Lord? Why should I stop? Why don't you tell her to stop? He said, because I'm talking to you. And, I had the, I felt like I was winning the argument. I didn't want to do it. And then I heard him say this. Why ruin a relationship over something so small? And I thought, oh, crud. That was a good point. But you see, had I not heard his voice, he revealed himself to me. But guess what? I had to do something with it. I had to stop it. And I did, I think. I hope I did good. Because here's the thing. You'll never, ever be perfect. You're never, ever going to do it flawlessly. The question is are you ever going to do it? Are you ever going to, when God reveals himself, when he speaks to you, are you going to listen? He'll reveal himself to you in many different ways. He'll do it in a church service. He'll do it through the message. He'll do it through worship. He'll do it through the acts of kindness of others. He'll do it while you're in the supermarket. He'll do it while you're taking a shower in the morning. He'll reveal himself to you. And I find this to be true in my life. Maybe it's just me. It seems like he usually reveals himself to me in something that he wants to share with me when I'm in my most awkwardest points. You know, like driving down the road or something like that. And it's usually because I've slowed down or I can't escape or I can't get busy with anything else. And he reveals himself to me. But now I have to decide, what am I going to do with this? When he reveals what I need to heal the wounds that are in my life, that's amazing. But if I just settle for him offering that and I don't apply it, I haven't taken the next step. Recognizing his presence is so key and is so important. You've got to set the pace of your heart, but he wants to know, what are you going to do with what it is that I'm revealing to you? Are you going to change? Are you going to simply listen to me, or are you just going to do what you want to do? I've heard people come in church before and say things like, man, I came to Kotob, my heart was so moved from the very first moment. I knew God was speaking to me. Excellent. I love to hear that. I really do. But then my brain goes right to the next question. So what are you going to do about it? Because if God moves you and reveals something, that's the first step, but it's only the first step. What are you going to do with what it is that he's revealed to you? That's what happened to the two walking on the road when they realized it was Jesus. They said, oh man, was not our hearts burning inside of us while he was speaking to us on the road? In other words, they were like, I knew there was something up with this cat. There's just something about this dude. And I couldn't put my finger on it. But now that I got it, what am I going to do with it? What is it that God's revealing to you? Speaking to you. You see, often you'll come to this appointment with God. Did you know? Okay, first of all, you and I, every one of us here, we have an appointment with God. Right? You know that, right? There's going to come a day when you're not going to live forever. And there's going to come a day where you will stand before Jesus. Now, which way you go depends a whole lot right now on how you live your life. If you have made room in your heart for Jesus, he says, I've got a heaven, an eternity, I'm going to open up to you. But if you have not received Christ, it's not like he finds joy in that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it breaks his heart. But he says, go, I never knew you. I never knew you. We're all going to have that appointment, but how many of you know that it's not just that appointment God's waiting for or we're waiting for? You and I have an appointment with him each and every day. We have the opportunity for him to speak into our life because of the power of his Holy Spirit. Think with me for a moment what life might have looked like if we did not have the Holy Spirit in our life. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Can you imagine how painful that would be to not know that there's anyone that would walk with us and talk with us or reveal themselves to us in an intimate way like that? But he says, you and I, we have appointments every day. He says, I want to reveal myself to you continually, not just once, not just three times, but in an ongoing. He said, I didn't come and be nailed to a cross to die for religion. He said, I came for relationship. I want to walk with you. I want to reveal myself to you. So that's not the question we're asking today. The question is are you going to do something with what he reveals? Are you going to do something with that? So, what's the key? Well, the key is what we're talking about. Number three, the key is learning to recognize his presence. As soon as you can do that, it's a matter of obedience. When you're able to humble your heart, be in his presence, God reveals himself in a mighty way. Remember, God has an appointment with you. He has one with me. Someday we will see him. But the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for this appointment? When God reveals something to you, a lot of times we don't want him to reveal it because usually we're afraid it's going to be painful. But Luke 24 said, while they were telling these things, he himself, Jesus, stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." Let me just say that when you open up your heart and make room for Jesus, what comes with it is a peace that Jesus brings. One of the ways you recognize God doing something in your heart and in your life, though it might mess with your head, is there's a peace that comes. You see, God is never going to ask you to do something that you can't or are unable to do. If God has asked you to do something, maybe he's speaking to you about your devotional life. Maybe he's saying you need to go to church. Maybe he's saying you need to get involved in feeding yourself spiritually. You need to fill in the blank, whatever that is. Whatever he's asking you to do, he's asking you to do it because he's already equipped you to do it. He knows you can do it. It's usually you and I that are questioning it. And he says, I want to reveal myself to you, but when I do, will you not only recognize my presence, will you do something with what I share? Recognize him. Here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to have kind of a relationship with God where, not a weird one, just, Lord, I want to recognize you. I want to recognize you in my walk. I want to see you in my workplace. I want to see you in my marriage. I want to see you in my family. And that doesn't mean that everybody starts throwing rose petals in front of you as you walk through town, because life still has its challenges. But the question is, do you have his presence? Because you'll know it. There'll be a peace. Have you ever been in a bad situation, but yet you were okay in that bad situation? And the reason? Because of the peace of God. That's why. I remember walking through hundreds of situations. I remember all the beginnings in our relationship when we walked through the loss of a daughter, a stillborn. That was not fun. We cried. We were angry. But there was a peace. There was a peace that went beyond all of that. It's the only kind that God can give. That's how we made it. Because of God. And we had to cooperate with that. Whatever you're going through, I'm not just some preacher up here saying, I'm going to give you some few points, a few good ideas. We've been there. We understand that. And though you have to walk through some difficult things, his peace, it knows no boundaries. And it's always there. Thomas in the Bible, it said, Jesus spoke to Thomas and said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me and have yet believed." It's almost like the Lord is saying, you want to see me, but your faith will be tested in there. It'll be tested in that season, but that peace will be there. Everything that you have, God says, I'll put it into use. But remember, he says, I see you. I hear you. I will never leave. I will never forsake. Sometimes it might seem like I'm in disguise. He says, sometimes it might seem like I'm incognito, but I'm ever present if you just look for me. There may be reasons why sometimes he blinds our eyes. Maybe it's so we can see him and the others that are around us. Who knows? But he tells us that we're to look for him in our walk. We're to look for him in the lives of others. Just like the disciples. Was not our hearts burning with inside of us? It was about the walk that they had. Let me close with this story. It was about a Native American father, and he had a young son about 12, 13 years old, and in their culture, the way that it worked is it's kind of like stepping into manhood thing, is the father would take the son, they would load up a horse with supplies, and he'd take his son to the forest, and his son was to go into the forest and spend the night all by himself, and the father would be back in the morning to pick him up. It was just kind of a part of his becoming a man, kind of a journey. So the father rides the horse out into the middle of the forest, lets his son down, and he says, I'll return in the morning, and he takes off. Well, the boy is getting scared because the sun's going down. And how many of you know when the sun goes down, the boogeyman come out, right? You hear noises. There's somebody behind every tree, every corner. He tries so hard to make it, trying to start a fire, trying to do all the things that he remembers his dad was teaching him, but he wasn't really paying it that much attention. But now all of a sudden he needs that. He's working at it and finally gets a little fire going, but it's just difficult. It's kind of a painful journey. He actually injures himself while trying to make a fire. And He failed to catch any fish, and he said, "Oh man, I wish I would have paid attention more. My father was teaching me how to fish. The night was cold, the night was scary. He even had to scare away a big black bear." Well, the next morning, his father woke him. And he told his father, "Dad, you never guess what happened." And he started telling him about all the things, but the father already knew it. Because the father was watching from a distance. And he was protecting his son, even the bear that showed up. He helped with that. The father helped rebuild the fire several times when he dozed off because the son wasn't looking and his fire wasn't the greatest. The son asked, "Well, Dad, if you were there the whole time, why didn't you let me know you were there?" And the father answered and said, "Though my presence will always be there, you won't always see me. And because of that, you'll learn better now how to make fires. You'll learn better now how to fish. You'll learn better now when I teach you. Because you know, though you may not see me, I am ever present." I think we need to make sure that when we look at our life, I don't know what all goes on in your life, but I know every one of us can look at our life and find an area where we go, this is horrible. Does anybody even care? I want you to know God cares. I want you to know God sees you. He hears you. "Well, I haven't seen him lately, Pastor." Don't go by feelings. Go by faith. Be sure to recognize God's presence, even when you're not even sure what the next step might be. You go out of your way to look for the good in people because you don't know if you somehow might be entertaining angels along the way. He says, "Trust me, love others." And this is very important because if you do not recognize me, he says, in your life, then you can't have the change that you so desire. So look for me. So I ask you the question this morning, and I'll end right here. Are you going through a difficult situation? Are you facing, fill in the blank. You could be watching at home right now, sitting in your front room and saying, "How did he know that was going on? I don't know what's going on." But the Holy Spirit does. And he says, "I've not left. I'm still here. I just want you to recognize me." Maybe you need to take whatever that situation is. Maybe life's going great and you're saying, "I just want more of him." Then maybe it's just coming back and saying, "We need to break some bread. We need to have some time to have communion." And make it not about the juice, make it not about the bread, but make it about being in the presence of God. And he will speak to you about your situation. He'll speak to you about what you need to do next. And then the all-important question, now that he's revealed himself, what are you going to do with it? You'll walk in obedience. God will move in amazing ways. In Jesus' name, amen.